Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's get started. Welcome back to this edition of the Truth Hurts program. I'm your host, Steve Z. Let's dive right in, shall we? The Democrats have good reason to worry about the 2022 midterms, if history has anything at all to say about it. In the history of the United States of America, the midterm elections are usually a bad time for the party which houses the presidency. In this case, of course, gropey Joe Biden and camel toe Harris's absolute debacle of a presidential administration are going to be the reason that Democrats lose their leadership in the House of Representatives. And to add insult to injury, just like rats from a sinking ship, two more Democrats, long-term Democrats, have announced that they will not be seeking re-election in the 2022 midterm elections. David Price is 81. It's time for him to go. He's the longest-serving member of North Carolina's congressional delegation, and Mike Doyle, 68, the longest-serving member of Pennsylvania's congressional delegation, said they will not be coming back. This news, of course, comes just days after John Yarmuth of Kentucky, the chair of the House Budget Committee, announced that he will also be retiring, bringing now a dozen total Democrats who say, we don't want to be part of this crap show that is associated with Joe Biden. They are getting out. These men all cite various motivations, of course, the realities of redistricting, the desire to spend more time with their families, and the fact that how the hell are you going to run on Biden's record? The party that wins the White House typically loses many congressional seats in the midterm elections, especially when the president is doing such a lousy job as people like Joe Biden and Jimmy Carter have proven through the years. The time has come, Doyle said, to pass the torch to the next generation. He's hoping some Democrat will step forward. In addition to passing the torch, Doyle says the COVID-19 pandemic had accelerated his thinking about retiring with his wife. He said the redistricting nightmare will likely bring substantial change to his district's boundaries, most likely pushing it outside of the more Blaffrican part of the state in Allegheny County. He said it's going to basically be a brand new district with new people, new counties even, and it might be a good starting point for a new member of Congress to get acclimated to the district and go from there. Price has represented the 4th Congressional District in the Raleigh-Durham area for all but one term since joining the House of Representatives in 1987. He's the state's only member of the House Appropriations Committee, and he has steered money to state projects. He also chairs the panel's Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Subcommittee. Price's announcement comes as state lawmakers are starting to redraw the House district boundaries based on the 2020 census figures, just as is done every 10 years. But now, of course, with the mainstream media crying racism every time anything is ever done, they think it's time to go ahead and get the hell out. Both of these retirements will set off intense scrambles for Democrats to try and succeed them. Those opportunities don't come around very often, especially when you have 6 decades between the two of them in Congress. Many other Democratic members of Congress who have announced their retirement plans hail from hotly contested swing states that could easily flip Republican and ultimately decide control of the House. Several of those House members have decided to go ahead and run for Senate. The GOP has already announced plans to target many of those seats being vacated. Well, why the hell wouldn't you? In recent years, Republicans have seen more retirements than Democrats, including 2018, when 37 Republicans declined to seek re-election ahead of bruising losses versus just 18 Democrats. So far, 10 Republicans have either stepped down this year or said that they will not seek re-election. It's going to be a very interesting midterm election, and you're going to hear quite a lot about it over the next 12 months. This is the Truth Hurts program.
Steve Z and the Truth Hurts program.
The New York Post has posted an article, says Biden playing a deadly game using secret flights to move immigrants. There's a reason the Biden administration is using secret flights to small airports to move unaccompanied minors who illegally cross the southern border. They don't want voters to know just how many people are being waved right on into the country, because President Biden understands that open borders might be the policy of progressives, but it's not popular amongst the majority of Americans, including moderate Democrats. But you know who does realize these flights are happening? The people of Central and South America. Word travels fast that no one is getting deported, and that's why they're paying big money to smugglers to take their churin on a perilous journey to the north. That's why there are so many heartbreaking images of toddlers literally being dropped over the wall and abandoned in the wilderness. There was a staggering 18,958 encounters between the U.S. Border Patrol and unaccompanied churin in July. In August, the figure was 18,847, and that, my friends, is up 655% in 1 year. Sometimes the kids are placed with relatives already in the U.S. Sometimes they're placed with aid groups that are more than happy to help because those aid groups are getting donations and federal funds funneled to them. Of course, there's also sympathy for the parents so desperate for their children to have a better life that they have a 7-year-old walk unaccompanied to America. By not having a set policy, by not forcing people to apply for visas from the country in which they originate, these people are making a mockery of U.S. immigration law. Joe Biden is encouraging a terrible, dangerous pipeline. How many innocent little children who don't know any better, they're just doing what mommy and daddy tell them to do. How many of those innocent children will be raped, sodomized, tortured, kidnapped, turned into a life of prostitution as they come into the United States as payment for their passage? Why the hell is gropey Joe Biden trying to have it both ways? Well, it's simple. He can tell progressives that he let in the vast majority of migrants, and that'll make the progressives happy. But he'll hide it from the public, hoping, praying that you are too ignorant, too blind, or too diverted by other media events to even notice the over 2 million illegal immigrants that have come in under his watch. And those are just the ones we've caught, just the ones we know about for certain. It does not do anything to control our illegal immigration, Mr. Biden. You are a joke, you are cynical, hypocritical, and you are dead wrong on this topic.
Steve C. and the Truth Hurts Program.
Joe Biden loves to cite American resilience in his little stump speeches, but disappointments regarding most of his key campaign pledges are testing voter patience and will certainly be remembered in the midterm elections next year. Negotiations, as they call them, over Biden's so-called infrastructure, social welfare, and climate spending tax and spend packages have ramped up before. They are ramping up now that surface transportation funding is due to expire at the end of the month. And the president's planning on traveling to Scotland for a United Nations environmental summit next month. But if talks collapse, like they did a couple of weeks ago, Biden's poll numbers will likely never recover. He's grappling with other priorities, such as voting rights, which is, of course, a code word, a buzzword, a dog whistle word in Democrat circles for find ways for Democrats to vote more than once, find ways for dead people to vote, find ways to allow voter fraud and irregularities to run rampant as long as they run in the direction of the Democrats. Biden's net negative job approval numbers are actually cementing now, according to pollster David Palaiologos. Disapproval of Biden is outpacing his approval numbers in the last 7 national surveys. At CNN, of course, there was a tie, because CNN's audience is so very in the tank for gropey Joe and camel toe. You can only break that cementing, that hardening, with some added wins legislatively, or if you have some major event that totally reshapes Biden's approval rating, and of course, the public's perception of Biden's approval. Say, another terrorist attack on American soil like September 11th? It may be what they're planning over in Democrat land. After all, they are enjoying having the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And I would not put it past the Biden administration or his puppet masters in Democrat land to do something, some major tragedy, to make him look presidential. I've warned you here on the Truth Hurts program at 9:24 a.m. Central Standard Time on October 19th, 2021. I've warned you to watch out for what might happen. Again, I would not put it past this administration or the people pulling the strings on the puppet Joe Biden. I wouldn't put it past them at all to have some terrorist attack on U.S. soil or some major outbreak of some new pandemic happen on this soil, one for which they already have the vaccine in waiting, one for which they already have everything lined up like a theatrical stage production or a Hollywood movie, where Joe Biden stands and looks pensively out over the audience and saves America. He's only managed to run the country into the ground the first 10 months of his presidency. In my humble opinion, it would take a massive manufactured crisis from the Democrats in order to save Joe Biden's presidency. It would have to be something along the line of aliens from another planet invading the country and Joe Biden standing out there with a Chucky doll, maybe a Mike Myers mask, and Darth Vader's lightsaber, and he walks up and single-handedly kills the invading alien presence. That's about the only thing that can save Biden at this point, and possibly the Democrats' hold on the Congress. The White House this week touted the, quote, accelerated pace, unquote, of the social welfare and climate package discussions after lawmakers missed nasty Nazi Pelosi's September 27th deadline. She promised the centrist House Democrats a vote on the $1.2 trillion so-called bipartisan infrastructure deal, which the Senate passed way back last summer. Liberal members pulled their endorsement without an agreement with centrist senators concerning the now over $2 trillion social welfare package that used to be a $3.5 trillion package. To please Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, liberal policies will have to be stripped from that social welfare climate package. That's likely to include Biden's $150 billion clean electricity performance program, which would hasten the transition towards solar and wind power and slash greenhouse emissions. At least that's what they're saying. It takes more plastic and petroleum products to produce some of these clean initiatives than it does to just simply keep driving gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles. Little Red, the Walk It Back girl, Jen Psaki, told reporters on Monday, "We're at a point where we feel an urgency to move things forward." She kept repeating the phrase, economic growth agenda. Gropey Joe Biden has failed to broker a green substitute before the 26th Conference of Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change's World Leaders Summit. That's happening next month in November. His failure to broker any kind of substitute will damage Biden's credibility on the issue. Not that he has any credibility to begin with. And this is according to his own environmental envoy, John Heinz Ketchup Kerry. But also it will depress turnout next year amongst voters who care about the environment, the experts are saying. One expert says, unfortunately, it's almost a no-win scenario for Biden because he's expected to deliver on the things he promised to deliver on. Not quite meeting the threshold of expectation with the actual end products suggests that you could have some leakage of support. You could have leakage of enthusiasm. And that could impact the 2022 midterms. You think? That was a political strategist, a guy with a political science degree, possibly a master's or even a doctorate. Another Democrat strategist, Antoine Seawright, declined to describe delays with the social welfare and climate package as setbacks. Instead, he says the process ebbs and flows. And while every Democrat will not be completely happy, the party will be proud of the end result, he claims. It is very important that we try to get something done before the 2022 midterms, so the sooner the better, he said. There's an expectation for a lot of people for Democrats to deliver, so we actually have to deliver. You see, my friends, the public is now starting to see what I have been telling you for a long, long time. People get tired of being promised things and never delivered. People get tired. Even the most ignorant, uneducated in our nation are now sick and tired of hearing over 65 years of Democrat lies. We gonna make it better for y'all. We gonna make it better for all the minorities and all the poor people. We's the Democrats. Keep on voting for us, and we gonna do something for you. The only thing the Democrats have done for you is keep you in poverty. Keep you in poor-performing public school systems. Keep you in crime-ridden neighborhoods. And keep feeding you the lie that somehow the white man is to blame for all of the woes in the minority communities. Minority communities need only look in the mirror. Look at their own offspring. Look at their own failures. And then look at the Democrats who brought upon those failures to know they cannot ever climb out of the bottom of every list in America until they, those same minorities, start to take responsibility for their own actions, start turning in their criminal neighbors, start taking responsibility for their own failures, until they start contributing to the society that they claim owes them something, until they start contributing to the tax base that supports their elderly people, and realizing that their youth, their youngsters, their able-bodied society members need to contribute, need to work, need to pay taxes. Until that happens, my friends, that minority group will continue to languish in poverty, in high crime areas, in drug abuse areas, victims of their own failure, victims of their own failure to realize, appreciate, and understand that it is their own doing. No white people are driving into the housing projects in the middle of the night and shooting black people, robbing black people, carjacking black people, raping black people, stabbing black people, drugging black people. It is black on black crime, the one thing in this nation that no one wants to talk about, that is driving the black population further and further down the evolutionary ladder. It's their own fault. You cannot blame Republicans. You cannot blame white people. The black population need only look right down the road to the Vietnamese community. Here was a group of people who was dragged to the United States to keep them from being killed in their own country after we failed under Democrat administration after Democrat administration to win in Vietnam. We basically gave that place up, abandoned the people, just like Joe Biden is abandoning the people in Afghanistan right now, leaving hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans and their supporters behind enemy lines, getting 13 servicemen killed, and doing exactly what Lion Joe Biden said he wouldn't do, have a last-minute helicopter airlift from the embassy, just like the fall of Saigon, the fall of Afghanistan, and the failure in our pullout of troops falls squarely on gropey Joe Biden's shoulders. But I digress, my friends. The black minority need only look to the Vietnamese community and how in one generation they all learned to speak proper English, got educated, and got jobs, and now contribute to the American society and are more accepted in the American society. Makes you wonder why Vietnamese do not take welfare. In the black community, 60 plus years, almost 70 years now, the great experiment, the great social experiment called welfare expansion, started handing out money to minority communities and basically telling the men of those communities, go ahead and knock up all the girls you want to. You don't have to pay for them. Uncle Sam gonna step in and take care of that for you. And the black population grew and grew and grew exponentially because there was no responsibility to pay for anything as a result of you knocking up some girl in the projects. That's why you have women with children of five different last names. That's why you have guys running around bragging about how they've impregnated 10, 15, 20 different girls and got their baby daddy status up. It happens. It continues to happen. And our so-called great society, our great social welfare experiment, continues to pay for all of those cheering in the projects. And you and I, the hardworking tax-paying Americans, we're paying. And we're paying to perpetuate a system by which these children are brought into the world. They have no structure, and they grow up to be the thug criminals just like their baby daddy was. And everyone tries to blame the white guy.
Steve C. and the Truth Hurts Program.
I am here today calling for an immediate end to all Social Security payments to anyone under retirement age. Cut it off right now. Shut it down. Announce that within 6 weeks, food stamps will cease to exist. Get a job, buy groceries instead of tattoos, gold teeth, and earrings, and spinning 42-inch wheels for your car, and five flat-screen televisions, and 12 pairs of $300 sneakers. Buy food for yourself and your offspring. I'm calling for the United States government to do the right thing. Stop paying people to stay home and not work. Require work. Require that every citizen contribute. If you want communism, if you want socialism, look at the nearest ant pile, the ant hill in your yard. Open it up. Dig it open. Look in that ant hill and find me one lazy ant that is not contributing. You'll never find it. The lazy, non-contributing ants are killed and eaten as food and fed to the babies, to the larvae. There is no welfare in an ant hill. There is no welfare in a true socialist communist society. There is no welfare. There is no WIC. There is no food stamps. If you have two arms, two legs, working eyes, hearing ears, and you are right now sitting at home on welfare, on Social Security, on food stamps, on WIC, or any other government handout, you are part of the problem, regardless of the color of your skin. I'm not being a racist here. There are lots and lots of white folks sitting home doing drugs, waiting for the third of the month for that welfare check to kick in. The government must stop supporting those who refuse to contribute to our society. The only people in our nation who should be receiving a monthly stipend from our government are the following people. Retirees, people who worked and contributed to the Social Security system, to the tax base for their working adult lives, and are now over 65 years of age. They've paid their dues. They should get a monthly check, and it should come out of the Social Security system for which they contributed. Their Social Security monthly payment, those retirees, those people who contributed all those years, should be well above a living income level. The next group who should receive are the veterans of our country, those who served our nation's military. And not just for and out. I mean people who served and devoted a lifetime to the nation. Your military retirement is your benefit. And those who are truly disabled, spina bifida patients, severe cases of MS, severe physical ailments, people with no legs, no arms. Those people should be taken care of by a society, by a civil, orderly society. But the crackheads, the potheads, the heroin addicts, the criminals, those who refuse to contribute to society need to be done away with, one way, shape, manner, or fashion, or form. Criminals should not be doing crimes and then getting right out without bail so that they can do more crimes. They should be put to hard labor in our nation's prison system. They should be the ones out there digging the ditches, clearing the brush, making the roadways. They should be doing so under armed guard. You run, you die. Sorry to be cruel, sorry to be crude, but this is the only way we can recover and succeed as a society. Continuing to make criminals the victims and make victims out to be the criminals is certainly not heading our nation in the right direction. Do Black lives matter? Yes. Do white lives matter? Yes. Do Latino lives matter? Yes. Do Asian lives matter? Yes. All lives matter. But the lives of those who do not contribute to our society, the lives of those who are criminals and refuse to be rehabilitated and continue to go out and commit crime after crime, should be eliminated. I know it sounds mean. I know it sounds cruel. My three strikes, you're out program would give you opportunities to do better. On your first strike, whatever offense you committed, you do at least a year in jail, and not a prison with air conditioning and cable television, jail with daily counseling sessions where they're teaching you what you did was stupid and you shouldn't do it again, and warn you that if you do it a second time, the punishment will be 10 times as harsh and severe, and it won't be sitting in jail. It will be hard labor with minimal nutritional subsistence only. And then, that's strike two. On strike three, if you have not learned your lesson from the first year in prison or the second 10 years at hard labor, you obviously cannot be rehabilitated and you must be eliminated. I'm sorry. Three strikes, you're out. If that were the law of the land, it would not be cruel, and it would certainly no longer be unusual punishment. It would be the three strikes punishment system. People will either learn to not be criminals, or they will no longer be part of our society. The deterrent factor alone would reduce crime exponentially in our nation.
But Steve...
No, I don't want to hear but Steve. None of that today. There must be a deterrent for the criminals in our society, and there must be a shutoff, a shutdown, a curtailment, a cutting off, an elimination of the social programs that are paying people to not contribute. There is zero incentive for anyone to go to work right now if they are willing to live in the poverty conditions in which they live. And we call it poverty, but for crying out loud, our poverty line is 31 times higher than the world average for poverty. Poverty used to mean you lived in a cardboard box and you ate some porridge that might have been dropped off the local shelter. Poverty when I was a kid was those kids in the ratty, tattered, shabby clothing with either no shoes or shoes that were falling apart, and they lived in cardboard boxes or orphanages or abandoned, burned out buildings. It's a joke nowadays. Poverty means you don't have a nice car with air conditioning and at least two flat screen televisions in your air conditioned abode. Poverty, my ass. Perhaps it's time to take all of those people on welfare out of their cushy Section 8 houses and their cushy housing projects and stick them somewhere in true squalor and tell them, you got 6 weeks, or this is where you're going to be. 6 weeks, we shut off the welfare. We shut off the WIC. We shut off the food stamps. We shut off the aid for dependent children. We shut off the so-called tax credits for children when you didn't pay a dime in tax to begin with. We shut off all of these things in 6 weeks. The resulting crime wave will be short-lived because people will not allow those people to break into their houses to steal anything. The police should be empowered to do what is necessary. With all of the help wanted signs in our nation right now, with all of the help wanted signs everywhere you look, every single able-bodied American should be able to go out and gain some type of employment. Sergeant Ross Keller came back from Afghanistan, missing two legs, one arm, severe damage to his other arm and hand. He lost an eye and the hearing in his left ear. And yet every morning he gets up for work and he takes his handy-capable apparatus to a job where he is now the manager of telemarketing for a major U.S. corporation. It wasn't for sympathy or pity. It was because the sergeant did not want to be a welfare case. And he has proven that you do not need to be able-bodied in order to contribute to the anthill of society.
And now a word from the Joe Biden administration's Fair Housing Initiative.
Did you move out of a blighted, high-crime, low-property-value, dangerous inner city? Did you move to the modern, clean, low-crime, high-property-value suburbs? That's not fair. The Joe Biden administration wants you to either move back to the inner city, or he's going to bring the inner city to your neighborhood. Coming soon to the clean suburbs. Affirmative Action Housing Subsidies and Initiatives. Yes, if there's any vacant land on or near your suburb, the Biden administration wants to mandate your county, township, suburb, or even cul-de-sac to build new, low-income, multifamily housing. With your tax dollars. Enjoying your neighborhood with middle-income single-family dwellings? Not for long. Biden wants to put an end to your privileged lifestyle. Soon, your suburban landscape will be littered with duplexes, fourplexes, Section 8 housing, and other low-cost housing alternatives, just to make it fair to others. They destroyed your city, and now the Biden administration wants to force you into allowing them to come to your neighborhood. Why should you live in a low-crime area when they have to live in the high-crime inner city? It's just not fair. Who cares that you worked hard and paid a lot of money for the ability to escape the crime and the blight of the inner city? Those who refuse to work are, after all, entitled to the same quality of life, according to President Biden. Who cares if they don't work for it? The Biden Fair Housing Initiative is coming to your small town, and there's nothing you can do about it. Paid for with your tax dollars.
That is all the time we have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are free speech protected under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautics.